listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hi everyone, it's February 24th, 2018. I'm here in the live stream, freshly back from the country of Mexico. And I'm here with Sharky and Rolo. Sharky, a new voice. Sharky, hello.
Hey, how are you going?
Great. Rolo told me you were here. Rolo, one of the lead fakeologists from Australia. And he said you're a new voice, and we're always looking for new voices to talk to. And welcome to the Fakeologist Audio Chat.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here. Now, this live stream audio, where is this being streamed?
It's actually being live streamed around or across or to all four corners of the globe on the internet, or not even the globe, the flat plane, whatever you want to call it. It's broadcast live at fakeologist.com/radio3.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
It's also, if all works out, it should be recorded and will be available for download widely across the internet at the Fakeologist Audio Chat Archives.
Well, that's very cool. Now, I'm not familiar with who you are, so if you can give me an introduction of who you are, that'd be great.
Well, I am the Fakeologist. I have run a website called Fakeologist.com since 2012. And it is a website that goes in many different directions, and the purpose of the website is to expose media fakery one PSYOP at a time. And we have many different aspects of the website, one of which is this Discord channel, which is mainly a chat, text chat channel that's subdivided into quite a few different subcategories. But we also have a unique feature called the audio chat, which is a live stream that goes, as I said, across the world. And we also have other aspects. We've got sub-blogs at fakeologist.com that deal with the ball earth skepticism, with the EGI phenomenon that may or may not be real. And, of course, I have my sub-blog called More Ab, which is usually non-fakeologist-related. And I've been doing this kind of research based on 9/11. As I said, this is going into year six, or year six is about to be completed, if I count on my fingers properly. And really, we decompose and decompress and deconstruct media in a way that nobody else wants to do. And I'm here in Toronto, the media capital of Canada, on the north shores of Lake Ontario. And I entertain and discuss with like-minded fakeologists around the world, including Australia. I believe you're from Australia. Is that correct?
Yes, I am. Lovely Brisbane.
Brisbane, right.
Yes.
We have a lot of fakeologists from Australia. A lot.
I wonder why. It's
interesting.
I don't know why that would be the case. So you say you've done a lot of research into the whole 9/11 story.
That's correct.
What would your take be on it? Because I find that a lot of people's take has changed a fair bit the more that they've looked into it. So what conclusions have you drawn now? I'm not saying that you might not change your opinion in the future, but what have you come to now?
You can go to fakeologist.com, which I'm going to go to now. One of these days I'm going to revamp the opening page of fakeologist.com. But for now, if you go to fakeologist.com and go to the top, there are a number of subheadings. And if you click on About, and then you hover over About with your mouse, click on rabbit trails, and that will bring you to pretty much my conclusions on fakeologists and how I got there. And quite frankly, since 2012, I have not changed at all. I have barely tweaked my point of view after my initial 1 or 2 month crash research course on 9/11.
And so if you were to give someone a quick 30-second summation of what your stance is, what would that be?
Quick summation is it was a military media cooperative exercise where a drill, a hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real, occurred on September 11th. And the media portrayed this drill plus the actual physical demolition in the traditional form of the World Trade Center. That this is the main event stage, Lower Manhattan. And they portrayed it as an attack on the United States using airplanes to crash into buildings and destroy them and allegedly the lives of 3,000 people. But my statement on that is that it was a complete HRDPAR, which is hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real, and the central, absolute core of the deception is the simulated casualty count of 3,000 or 2,977 people. That is the central thesis, that is the central thrust of the whole PSYOP, that is the meat and potatoes, it is the part of the PSYOP that continues to be the excuse for everything that has occurred after 9/11. And it is the one aspect that almost no other researcher talks about or writes about, and it is what separates fakeologists from just about everyone else that talks about 9/11.
Yeah, and there are people.
It is the central tool in which, to this day, including the last major PSYOP, which was the Parkdale, Florida high school shooting, HRDPAR, they simulate real victims and use that as the major reason why any actions taken have to be enacted for the victims. All the other details are supportive of that central thesis, that central core that is used to make people move.
Yeah. Now, by no means do I agree with the mainstream narrative of 9/11. However, Gaia and I I was saying to Gaia earlier is that we come to this. A lot of people say that 9/11 was a made-for-TV movie. I don't know if you subscribe to that. And we say that because there's no evidence to say that what happened actually happened the way they said it happened. However, we have no more evidence to say that it's a made-for-TV movie. So how can we come to that conclusion?
Well, why don't we hear a little bit about your background before we go any further? Where are you calling from, and how much research have you done on the topic?
Okay, so I'm calling from Brisbane, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And so I am 29 years old. I'm an electrician.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in South Africa, moved over to Australia in 2001. Where I am in terms of, are you talking about my research into 9/11 particularly, or just...
We can start with that, because that is the granddaddy of this century, this millennia.
Yes, millennia. So I mean, by no means I'm saying that I've done more than anyone or even half as much as you have.
Mm-hmm.
I've looked into a few things, and I definitely think that, you know, the way that the media portrays it, do not think it happened like that. Exactly what happened, I was not there personally. I have no idea. I have no... I have no one that I know that's even close to it, really. My mother said that she knows someone that knew someone. And so that's probably the closest connection, which I think is just pretty nonsense connection. So don't believe the mainstream narrative. But I'm interested in people that have done research and they come to this conclusion that it's a made-for-TV movie. But there's no evidence to say that either, is there? No concrete evidence.
Well, I've given my thesis on what I think happened, and we just have to go with what the military media has given us to work with. And we found all kinds of inconsistencies with their media, and therefore we can say precisely what we don't think happened, and we can refute what they say happened. That's the main thrust of the research. We can't say exactly what happened because we weren't there. We didn't witness it. We can only see the results, and we can only see, based on patterns over the last 100 years of big events, we can only be conclusive in deducing what we think are HRDPARs, or psychological operations or military media events, and use that to give us a good sense of what we think didn't happen, and possibly what did happen, in the sense that what was simulated and what were the real aspects of it. And it's the combination that makes it very difficult and confusing for most people to even begin to explain to people that don't spend the time like fakeologists do in researching this. None of the people I talk to outside the fakeologist sphere have any idea about any aspect of these events. They do no research other than just the trying to remember the official story. So it's very difficult to even begin to talk about it, because the minute anything we say conflicts with what they say, it usually shuts down conversation. And this becomes more of a study in psychology than it does in convincing people what your opinion is. It really becomes a lesson in perception, most of which we're not really equipped to give. And then you're just dealing with regular people and trying to influence them, and then you are stuck with the same issues that the mass media and the military is presented with every time they want to convince people of their version of an event. And that's when you need the professionals. That's who they are. That's what they study, the human mind and how to influence it. So an amateur like myself is really no competition for the professionals.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, how effective we can be with convincing other people that don't really want to know anything different than the mainstream narrative is a whole different argument. And I do think there is merit in poking holes in the media, the way that the media portrays it. I definitely think that there's merit in that. But where I think fakeology or truthers have gone too far is saying, okay, it's not this, it's not what they said it is, but it's this. Because we have no evidence, no concrete evidence. We can speculate, and yeah, we can come to some sort of idea what we think it might be, but we'll never be sure that it is this. So for us to say that it is X, Y, or Z, I feel is damaging, because you can't be 100% sure, because you weren't there, and you don't know exactly what happens. And so I guess when you're talking to someone that, you know, believes the mainstream narrative, and then you say, okay, this is a little bit, this doesn't line up with what they said, this doesn't line up with what they said, this doesn't line up with what they said, that is constructive, and that can lead people to ask more questions. But then when we jump and say, this is what happened, the person can say, okay, so this person is telling me that this happened with no real evidence, and then this person is saying what this happened with speculation as well and no real evidence. So who's right? That's where it becomes, like, you know, not constructive to helping people realize the fakery.
Well, I know they're not right, and I'm closer to being right in my mind. And it's not up to me to convince others of my exact way of looking at things. It's up to me, however, to make people question the official story. If I can do that, then I'm happy. If I can point them in a direction that I think is closer to the truth based on my tireless research, then I'm also happy. I absolutely cannot definitively tell somebody exactly what happened because I wasn't there and I wasn't running the operation. I can only tell them what I think is most likely based on gathering all what I think are the best researchers in the world, and all we're doing is speculating, but the thing we have in common is we all spend time looking into it. We all spend time questioning it, and there is no substitute for the amount of time we put in and the amount of research we put in. Most of the people that are here have put in years of research, and they continue to study the modus operandi of who we think the organizations that persist year after year. And it's always our best guess. I think our best guess is fantastic.
Yeah, but like you said, it is just speculation, and we will never know for sure. So, I mean, I agree with you 100% on the whole researching things and poking holes in media fakery and the importance of that. I just don't know how much I agree on the next step of making conclusions on that speculation. I don't know how productive that is. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it's just as productive as reading the newspaper or watching the television to me. Depends what
which is not productive at all.
Okay. Well,
how do you think? Watching the TV, you think that is that productive? I don't think you think that's productive.
Researching the media and trying to filter the nonstop torrent of stories that come at us, I find is productive. And outside of learning how to play an instrument, which might be productive, it's more of an interest. It's the goal is not necessarily to be productive in the sense that I'm making something. But if I can help other people that are being negatively affected by the media, and I will speak directly about my own parents who lock in to the mainstream media day in and day out, and at the end of the day, you might think they had just gone to war, and they're traumatized, and they're trying to relate the trauma to me. I find it productive to try and help disengage them from the absolute torture that they go through. And I can't physically stop them from locking into the media, but I can toss a few suggestions their way, none of which are received, by the way. But I think it's my duty to try and help people that are very negatively affected, only because I'm interested in the media and always have been interested in the media.
Yeah, I totally agree with you in that. When I was talking about productive, I was meaning productive in convincing people or changing people's minds to media fakery. Like I said before, poking the holes in the media fakery is productive. I just don't think giving a alternative is productive. Like, for example, you said talking to your parents. If I was to talk to my mother about 9/11, mm-hmm. I think it would be productive to say, hey, this doesn't make sense because of several reasons, and this doesn't make sense because of several reasons. I think that's productive. But then for me to go and tell her that 3,000 people didn't die and that it's a made-for-TV movie, I think she switches off straight away there. And then she doesn't listen to anything I said. And so that's what I'm saying. I think it's dangerous to make that conclusion from the speculation when you're trying to convince people.
I don't think it's dangerous at all. I think it might not be effective, but I don't think it's, I wouldn't call it dangerous.
Okay,
dangerous
maybe I used the wrong
walking
word.
Walking on glass, that's dangerous. But
yeah, okay, I admit, dangerous, I used the wrong word, but not productive in convincing someone to believe what you're saying.
Well, I have to admit, I'm not the best convincer in the world, and I haven't really actively honed that craft with raw meat, as it were, or people that are completely disengaged from media research, fakeology. So I don't even like to practice because I don't even know where to begin most of the time. And therefore, I think you really have to only concentrate on people that are at least open to the idea that there's a problem with what they're being told. Otherwise, it's literally like teaching Greek to somebody from Mexico. If there's no interest and there's no motivation, then it's a completely futile exercise.
Yes, and I mean, whether we can be able to change people's minds that, you know, just believe the mainstream media and are happy believing that, that's questionable. Who knows if we can even do it, even if we are very effective or very, you know, have a very good strategy. Who knows if we can even change someone's mind? I don't know. However, one thing that I'm interested in talking about is birthing procedures and the whole sort of medical procedure behind that. Guy and I were talking about it earlier, and he's from Holland. And in Holland, they 60% of births are child or home births, sorry, which I thought was very interesting. And so, have you looked into any of that type of thing?
Well, I have my own opinion because I have my own children and I know what I went through. But at this point of the evening, I'm not really interested in starting a conversation on that because it's not really related at all to fakeology. But I have an opinion, as I've told people the other day, on just about everything in the world. So I have no problem stating one. But I don't really want to get into it now because I could easily spend an hour on that topic. I do like to concentrate on this channel on fakeology for the main reason. The main reason, of course, is that's why most people come to this channel.
How does this not have anything to do with fakeology? I mean, what I'm sort of would have been talking about was the fact that, you know, mainstream medicine says things should be a certain way, and maybe they shouldn't be a certain way. So that is, you know, maybe not media fakery, but it's another type of fakery or a pushing of a narrative that's not true. So I think it's very relevant.
Okay. Well, I don't. And that's what makes the world go around. We have different opinions. I do put some somewhat tenuous links to fakeology on fakeologist.com. But as soon as if I don't think there's enough linkage to media fakery, then I usually move it to my other sub-blog called moreab.fakeologist.com, where I still have the media fakery or the opposing the official point of view theme, because that's just the way my mind has been set to. But again, I push it over to the moreab.fakeologist.com sub-blog because not everyone is interested in, say, the birthing procedures of the world and the Western medicine or vaccination controversy. But all those things are open to discussion on that blog, and all those things do tend to come naturally if you are a fakeologist, because you're in the business of questioning everything, and it is totally legitimate to question legitimate to question everything. I agree. But definitely I can't cover every subject in the world on Fakeologist, because if you don't have a decent theme to your website, then it becomes very difficult to cater to any group, because, again, not everyone wants to come for every possible subject. So that's why I want to limit the scope somewhat, if you don't mind, to the huge list of topics I already have on Fakeologist.com.
Sure. I thought that Fakeology was just about sort of the mainstream narrative. What you are sort of saying is that it's news fakery, media fakery that Fakeologist is talking about, which is cool. I mean, you could argue that media pushes the narrative that a certain way that birthing is done is the right way. And so if you wanted to go down that line, you could. But so forgive me for trying to go down another line. I just thought that Fakeology was about looking for the truth or looking for fake things regardless of where they were.
Well, again, the website and the audio chats, I try and keep them to a certain number of topics, including 9/11, including any new HRDPAR, hyper-realistic drill portrayed as real. Believe me, that's enough to talk about as a rule. I do let the audio chat stray and into different fields. I do let that happen. And I don't have a problem listening to it, but I'm not always going to focus on it. If you want to have a day when we discuss the medical field, which is vast, and it's open to manipulation like any other human activity, maybe we could do it one day. I'm just not sure that the average person here who wants to discuss what I like to focus on, for instance, the Florida shooting hoax, PSYOP, HRDPAR, however we want to label it. I don't think they want to weed through all the non-central core topics to get to that topic, get to the hoax topic, that's all. That's the one issue I have with the audio chats, and I don't really police it too heavily. And I actually at one point took the audio chats and made them their own subcategory, and they didn't even show up on the main page because it was affecting those that came to the site to really look for the latest on the latest hoax in the media, because, again, that is what is being discussed 24/7 and affecting them in the mainstream media. So they want to come here to get a counterpoint and not talk about, say, something as very, very loosely related like the birthing issue and why it's done the way it's done in most Western societies. I hope that's fairly clear. And this is not just a explanation for you. It's for anyone else who comes to the audio chat and goes off topic when I'm not there.
Yes, so if I've got you correctly, Fakeology is only interested in talking about fake terrorist attacks.
Just whatever the latest highlighted, hyper-promoted event in the media is. And that usually involves, in the United States, a shooting or a bombing, or we really haven't had a 9/11 scale event since 9/11, 2001, 2001. But whatever is on the top of mind and dominates the media for at least a few days or even a few weeks. That's what I hope to discuss here, because people are only mainly coming to the site, new people anyway, based on the latest event, because the way people's minds work and the media works, they only remember what just happened today or maybe up to a week ago. And anything that happened a month ago is usually completely forgotten. And it's almost not relevant in a lot of ways.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening.
Good evening, Gaia. Thank you for coming on.
I just had a great, great chat with Sharky.
Okay, that's Sharky on the line as well.
Yeah, and he has opened up my eyes, and I think that a crucial part of fakeology as a study, let's say, is to look into other wars than only media wars. And I think the war on babies is a very crucial part of fakeology.
Okay. Well, I gave my opinion already, and you just heard it if you were listening, so.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And you're the owner, so you can kick me out anytime you want.
Gaia, I know it's not about kicking people out. I don't know why you always go, why you're going to the extreme position right now. I just said that's not a topic that I have time to address right now. I just wanted to actually introduce the audience to Sharky and introduce myself to Sharky on a preliminary basis. And I gave everything I needed to say about what I just talked about, the birthing issue. So
yeah, and Guy, it's my misunderstanding. I thought that it was more broad. But like we've just heard, it's about topics that are up and coming now. And I do see the merit in that. And you do have to limit platforms to certain things, or else people just get lost in the mess. So I mean, we can have it's great to have chats about that, but if this is not the platform for that, then we should talk about other things. I agree.
I haven't even, Guy, I know you wanted to talk to me about another issue, but I haven't even, I'm a little behind on the other audio chat, so if you have an issue that came up because of the most recent audio chats, I won't have a perspective until I finish listening to them.
I just stated that tomorrow I will make my final audio here. For now,
okay.
I don't say I'm not coming back any time. No, I'm not saying that. But okay. I have to take a break, and it's not because of this. It's because of my personal life.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, you've given a ton of time to the Fakeologist website. More than maybe healthy, and your work at Fakeopedia has been tireless and endless, and I totally understand. This is a very difficult and isolating bit of research, and you have to make sure you restore balance. It can be. It's like anything else we do in this life, you have to limit yourself.
Yeah.
And that will make you fresher. It will give you better perspective, and it will also allow balance, because it doesn't matter what we do, we have to try and maintain balance. So I just got back from a nice little break in Mexico.
Where did you go?
Because I own the website, I have to monitor it. Unfortunately, I would have loved to just not even visited for a week, but because it is a very active site, I have to at least peek in here and there and in the last day or two post an audio chat or two, because I can't let them back up. But I went to Central Mexico. I lived with the people for a week. It was very nice. I'm not a beach person, but I do like the heat and the sun to get away from the gray and the cold where I live.
Yeah. You've been to Mexico City?
Yes, actually, that's where I transferred anyway.
I didn't
get to go drive around Mexico City, but I was closer to Guadalajara, so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's a little too far for me to go, and as I've spent the last 14 hours, I just got back, so I'm not really in the mood to do too much other than unwind from being pressurized at 35,000 feet.
Yes. Yeah, but it's a great area to be.
Yeah. Amazing people. Mm. Amazing people. And I had a nice conversation with a 22-year-old, yes, Tutu, who is going from the Juarez, which is the opposite, El Paso, all the way to Warsaw to study. He was coming through Toronto, which was a pretty epic journey, and I was... Unfortunately, I didn't engage him until the last 20 minutes when he asked for my pen, but a very fascinating person, and I just asked from a fakeologist's point of view if Juarez or other areas or the state he was in were as dangerous as the media portrays, and he said, well, actually in 2008, Juarez was fairly lawless for a while, and there were possibly up to 20 murders a day. It was more of a Wild West situation for a while. He said it was mainly drugs because Mexico is used to supply the absolute insatiable demand in the United States for illicit drugs, which is a tragedy unto itself. And, but he said overall, it is nothing like the United States media portrays Mexico. So, it's just interesting talking to real people.
Yes.
If you can, and as you know, just getting a complete inverted reaction or reality, or at least as they perceive it. And we have nothing. Well, we can't go on anything other than the media because we're not there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my own mother-in-law, I mean, she believes that most parts of the capital of Colombia, it's fucking dangerous.
Sure.
I've been there and nothing happened, and I stand out. I'm tall, I'm blonde, I'm foreigner, clearly.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. Yeah. I can just walk there, okay, not at night, it's in some parts, and it may be different, but during the day, I can walk there and nothing happens, ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big bodybuilder type of guy. No, it's but people are just indoctrinated by the media, even in their own fucking city. You know?
Oh yeah, for sure. Even it could even happen on our own street. I've said this many times.
Yeah.
You live on, and they don't want to tell you what's happening. You're not going to find out right away, if ever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with the staged accidents you posted on the the blog, it's like it, right? I mean, people believe right away.
Even at my own local high school, when there's an event going down, and I even have pictures of my wife trying to get in the front door to get an answer, and she's actually on the television. She cannot get in to get an answer. Fantastic how that happens. And we still to this day don't have an answer. To this day, we don't know what happened. And we will never know.
Well,
because
I
told
think,
we can't know.
That is the great position and difference we had last night. It was a very, I must say, an aggressive chat.
My
position. I mean, I cannot claim nobody died at 9/11.
Sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
The images and the victim report and all that don't point to the idea that someone died. Okay, that's true. But I cannot claim nobody died, for sure. No, I cannot know that. I haven't been there. I haven't looked through the coroner's report and whatever. No, I don't know that.
Yeah, we can't say for sure about much, but we can just present our best guess, and that's what I've said all along. and I like my version. And actually, because I don't worship death the way I think so many of the people that control the media do, I don't understand why my view of nobody dying is harder to accept than people dying. People have this addiction to wanting the worst case scenario. But actually it's kind of humorous that a better, more positive scenario is dismissed out of hand. Appeal to authority.
But isn't that a false dialectic? It's either or.
It's far easier to believe that people died because, I mean, there was two buildings that got demolished, right? And there was no people that were cordoned off. I mean, did they cordon off the area?
Yes, I think that
I think they did. I think they did, but I cannot prove that any firefighter ever who inhaled asbestos-ridden things died. I cannot prove that, and I won't say that. I won't claim that.
No, my question was, is there proof that before the buildings went down, there was a cordoned off area?
Yes, I think there is some. There's just as many reports of a cordoned off area as the official story. So one of the goals of PSYOPs is if you can't convince, then you just confuse. In other words, you put out many different stories to just make it really impossible to know and make everything very murky or gray.
Yeah, well, what I think is I really like the chat that was put out there with Brian Stavely, and he made a great point that the media in those helicopters, they didn't film people running away and going out. And that shows it was a cordoned off area. I think that is true, yes. But at the same time, I cannot prove that some firefighter who was just a dupe, he was not in the know, he went in there and he inhaled stuff and he maybe died. I cannot prove that was fake, you know?
Of course, is there any proof that inhaling asbestos is fatal? That's definitely something that's I've questioned in the past as well.
Well, inhaling smoke is definitely fatal.
Well, I've seen asbestos live in the field, so yeah, it's needle type minerals.
Yeah.
And yes, they are used in buildings, and yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean that is there, but I cannot prove if he died. I cannot prove the other way either. I cannot prove he didn't die, right? I mean, so.
Yeah. You definitely can't prove a negative. But again, you don't get too far off the focus of this website. This focus is not to create rock-solid alternatives. The purpose of this website is introducing the idea that the official narrative should not be taken as absolute truth. That doesn't mean that I have to come up with an absolute rock-solid impenetrable alternative. Absolutely not.
But
this website is to create a conversation about the fact that the media is not the definitive authority on events, as we are told. That's it. So don't get too sidetracked in the idea that I have to come up with the cure for cancer at fakeologist.com.
I'm saying quite the opposite. You have come up with a conclusion, and I'm saying maybe pushing an alternative narrative is not the best thing to be doing.
Well, it's the best thing for me to be doing, and that's why I have the website. So if you want to create your own website that has your best ideas, then the media plane on the internet is infinite. There are infinite numbers of websites that can be created. This is what I've created, and people come and people go. People like it, people don't like it. And if you like it, contribute. If you like it, support it. in any way you feel fit. If you're supporting of it is to ignore it, that's fine too. It's a free world as far as we know.
So why do you think it's good to put another narrative in there? I would agree with you
because I don't like the official narrative. I think it's hurting people.
Yes, but you said that the reason of the website is to get people questioning media fakery.
Yes. Right, and because so that might relieve them of their stress. Because that might relieve them of the stress that they're under
on
every
that.
Single day.
We totally agree. I'm not saying that that's not a good thing. We're agreeing that poking holes in media is a good thing, and there is positive things to that. I'm asking you, why do you think it's positive that you create another narrative?
Okay, I'll answer for the third or fourth time. Because I think that the people that are subscribed to the official story are being harmed by the media.
Yes, but by doing the first step and just pointing out the media fakery is opening their eyes to the media fakery, and therefore they can free themselves of that. I agree with you on that. However, I think that going to the next step and then saying, this is what happened, or this is what I think happened, is actually counterproductive.
Okay.
In sort of, I think it will people will recoil when you say, oh, this is what happened. So if your goal is to enlighten people, I think that's not enlightening people. So I just want to know your reasons for why you think giving an alternative narrative is enlightening people. We agree on the poking at media and showing how it's fake. What I don't
understand. Because my way seems to come up with fewer people dying. So there's a one sentence answer.
And how does that make people be enlightened or
because
them in your bakery?
Because it's the less ghoulish way of looking at the world, and if it's closer to the truth, it's a relief. And it also means that I have to possibly pay, or those people have to pay less attention to getting their daily dose of death in the media, because they don't discuss things that are very positive in the media.
But what Sharky said before, can we prove it was a Hollywood movie set? No, we cannot.
I don't have
we don't
to prove
have
it.
That access. Well, if
I don't
you
have
claim
to prove it,
if you claim that, then you have to prove it.
No, I don't
it's
have to prove anything.
It's how science works.
No, no, this isn't a science site. I don't have to prove anything.
Yeah, but
absolutely
then for the person that is, you know, coming to this website blind, from their point of view, they think, okay, so the news has told me this thing, and there's not much evidence to back it up. Our fakeologist has told me this thing, but there's no real evidence to back that up. So now who do I believe? Because they're just as bad as each other. Whereas if you just say, if all you say is the news is saying the wrong thing, and then you don't come to your conclusion on what it is, then all you've done is say, hey, I think what they're saying is wrong, and then that no one can say that you are being like jumping to conclusions or speculating. And now with this point of view that you have, people can say that you're speculating and you're just as bad as the news.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think so, then I suggest you find another website.
Well, I guess my question is, why do you think jumping to that, to making your own narrative is constructive? I'm just asking that question, that's all.
I know, and I've answered it. I've answered it to the best of my ability tonight. Maybe I can do better another night, but right now I've done my very best.
Fair enough.
All right, well, I'll leave you and Gaia to carry on if you'd like. Otherwise, I'm going to have to exit the live stream. I just want to introduce myself, say hi, and you're welcome here, Sharky. And welcome to share any research or insights you have into media fakery and discuss it. And like I tell everyone, try and stay as close as we can to some of the many, many, many subjects that are listed in the different categories on fakeologist.com. And
If I may introduce,
sure.
I mean, there is one subject, I must say, I have, it's part of it. I mean, I'm not leaving because of that, but it's part of it.
Sure.
And that is flat earth.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot comprehend that people embrace that narrative, that counter narrative. I cannot understand. And there are people around here, I don't call names because we have had personal, private discussions about it. Why you provide a platform, and I agree with that. I don't question that at all. I mean, I think it's good to provide a platform, but why that is happening, that there are so many flat earth people completely ignoring anything that goes against that narrative. They don't look into any rebuttal or any arguments against it, but they will they only go, it's like a religion, it's like a cult, and I feel that is in close form, it's even banned. It's banned because these people are not honest. And here it is possible, and I agree that is there should be a platform, but it should be based on honesty. And that's what I see here, is that people are not honest.
Okay. So what's the point?
Can I just interject there? I have to go. But
okay, sure. It's been nice talking with you.
Yeah, it's been great chatting, and I like this Discord channel. I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's also great when you can have a discussion, you can disagree with each other, and it don't get out of hand, and people don't name call and all that sort of thing. So it's been really pleasant, even though we maybe haven't seen eye to eye and everything. It's been really pleasant speaking. And I
it's nice talking to you. As long as we can be civil, and you don't have to have an opinion or an interest in every topic. These are the topics I'm interested in. I could go on forever with different topics, but there's only so many hours in the day, and there's only so much interest. I just promote the stuff I'm interested in. This is not an all-encompassing skeptics blog. But again, anybody could use the infinite canvas that we're given to create their specific skepticism, and people might come to visit that and attend to it. I try and choose some of the highlights, to be honest, because I can only do so much, and I can only follow so much. Fakeopedia is a great idea, but I just don't have the energy to do it. But I'm happy to try and help someone else do it, but I can only do so much because there's, again, an infinite area that we can look at. So I'm happy to help out other people go their own way and maybe branch off, but I can't host everything. So
and there's definitely merit to what you're doing, and I think it's great.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you think that, because I'm not sure you thought it earlier, but I'm glad you think so, because I think there is too. I wouldn't really be doing it. It's still a labor of love. It's certainly not a profit center in any way, but it's still an interest. When I stop paying attention to the media and I don't have a tele-live vision, I only just pull stuff as I go along off the internet. I do not leave CNN or MSNBC or Fox blaring in the corner every day, so I don't really get the dose that others do. But,
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
All right, have a good one. And I'm out, guys. Gaia, take care.
Okay, man.
We'll talk tomorrow, maybe.
Yes.
All right.
Well, now in the live stream, I must give my view on it. And I agree about let's say 95% to 98% of what App is saying, but I also disagree with some points. I think it's important, A, to look into stuff other people don't look at, so that goes outside of the so-called media fakery. I think it's important to address the fakery in this whole fucking flat earth psyop. It's a psyop. It's a clear psyop, even. The earth cannot be flat. And I think it's important to address that point if you are an honest person. It's not against App. I mean, he provides a platform, and he says, okay, I provide this platform, and I want other people to speak up, and I don't care about their views, and that's fine. But I think there is some line you have to draw and challenge people about their own beliefs. If it is the belief in the official narrative of 9/11, it's not different from the official narrative of Flat Earth. You have to challenge people. And I think being challenged, that is the real characteristic of a fakeologist. Because if you stop being challenged, then you are a believer. And then it's like... going from, I mean, if you're afraid of being challenged, then that means you embrace some narrative, X, Y, or Z, doesn't matter. It can be mainstream, it can be alternative, and it can be fakeologist point of view, but if you embrace a narrative, X, Y, or Z, then you have lost the point of fakeology, in my view. I mean, other people may have different views. I think fakeology is about challenging your own ideas, challenging what you believed before, challenging the stories you have received in your life, and trying to challenge those stories with arguments. If there are no arguments, then there's no challenge. And that is, at least in my view, the point of fakeology, is trying to challenge your own views. I've been challenged on my views many times here on this chat. Tomorrow will be my last audio chat here. Now I'll make it a good one, I hope. Interesting for other people to listen to. But what I felt in the last three and a half months I've been here is that the challenge stopped quite a bit for quite a while. And yeah, I've had a good time here. And I respect App, I respect his views, I respect his taking up Fakeopedia, that is really, really great. I respect the way he handles all of this. At the same time, I question it, because I think this Flat Earth psyop is way too strong here in this Discord channel. There are far too many people here who are just not looking into anything, and they just push a controlled narrative. But Flat Earth is. It's pushed by a fucking inventor, Samuel Robotham. He was an inventor. He published a book in 1881. The third edition of his book was about Flat Earth, and it's just completely ridiculous. There is no possibility that the Earth is flat. You can see it with your own eyes. And anybody who claims that the Earth is flat is not honest. So claiming that shows dishonesty. And my view on fakeology as a study, looking at fake events, that means it is not restricted to the media. No, it goes also into looking at so-called alternative ideas or theories or models, if you want to call it that, but Flat Earth is not even a model. And if someone doesn't draw a line there, then I think there is something going on. Unfortunately, because I like this environment, I have met good people here, but if you stop questioning, then you have stopped fakeology. I mean, as a study, it's like going into the rabbit hole. I mean, the rabbit hole is without bottom. I mean, so it goes on and on and on. And if you thought that you finally found your truth by going into some mole channel, let's say, outside of that rabbit hole, I think you have stopped critical thinking. And with this whole Flat Earth stuff, if you stopped critical thinking, you have stopped the whole idea of fakeology. And fakeology is about analyzing stories, if they can be true or false, and addressing the arguments, that's important, and coming up with a good empirical observations we can do every day ourselves, explanation for that. If you cannot, that means either you're wrong or you haven't done enough research. That's fine, but then don't claim things if you don't have any arguments to back it up. I think that's a fair position. It's a position I take here all the time. I cannot claim nobody died at 9/11. I don't think people died at 9/11. I don't think it, but I cannot claim nobody died. Because for that claim to be true means I have access to all the 3,000 something records of all these people, and I can prove that none of those people died at that moment. I cannot do that. I don't have that knowledge. And I think we as fakeologists, we should be humble enough to say we cannot do that. We cannot prove that people didn't die. We cannot prove people did die either. That's fine. That's true. But that doesn't mean we can make the claim nobody died. And it has become a bit of a meme in the fakeologist and Clueform and Hoaxbusters environment, where people say nobody died. Okay, that's fine. If you claim that, then you have to back up your claim with proof, with evidence. If you cannot do that, if you cannot say for sure nobody died, then your whole claim is lost. There's nothing wrong about that. That is what truth seeking, in my opinion, means. My position is I can prove certain narratives wrong because they don't hold up to scrutiny, because you can prove that certain elements don't add up, that there are inconsistencies, that there is physical impossibilities, like with 9/11 planes, that's physically impossible, what we've seen on television. But still, I cannot prove that there wasn't a plane going on there in New York, and then at the same time, on television, they showed some movie. there can still have been a plane, and I cannot prove that plane wasn't there. And I think it is very important to be honest and to be humble and to be conscious about what can be real, what can be fake, and what is fake according to the laws of nature, physics especially, but also chemistry. And but claiming things that you cannot prove is a sign of dishonesty. I cannot prove that nobody died in the Benghazi attack, or at Sandy Hook, or at Boston bombings, or anything. I can analyze the story, and I can make the case that I don't believe anybody died, and that's what I think, that's what I believe. But I cannot be completely 100% sure nobody died. The only person who can do that is the coroner, let's say. And even he or she can be deceived because he or she doesn't know all the records from all the medical hospitals that sees that those records. And that is my consistent position here. Is I can prove, or I can make the case, not prove, I can make the case that many things are staged or contrived or made into a narrative different to what the actual events show or the actual arguments and the actual observations show, but I cannot prove it's wrong. The only thing where I'm certain about is that the Earth cannot be flat. Flat Earth is fucking psyop. It's bullshit. It cannot be the case. And just here, to my surprise, I find people who say, yeah, the Earth is flat. And then I start to question. Tomorrow I will have my last audio here, and I will make it personal first, and then hopefully other people will join. But the Earth cannot be flat. Observations, everyday observations. You don't need to rely on NASA, so-called authority, you don't need to rely on all this fucking bullshit. No. Earth observations you can make every day show that the Earth cannot be flat. And I have been into this topic for more or less 3 years. And I have looked into this big time, and the Earth cannot be flat. It's just impossible. It is a psyop. It is a controlled opposition, Alex Jones style of operation. Because what they do is they provide videos, and I look into those videos because I don't care if someone says, "Yeah, the Earth is flat." No, I don't care about that. But they show good videos about NASA fakery. So I will take that part, and I will ignore the flat Earth part. But most of us in the world, they don't do that. Because if I want to share this video on a website somewhere else than here, people will immediately say, yeah, it says flat Earth, or they talk about flat Earth. And so, I mean, they are socially discredited by association doing what actually people want them to do. It's the same thing what the Flat Earth videos do, because they say NASA is lying to us. Yes, that's true. So, all the images of the Earth are fake. And yes, that's true. But that means the Earth is flat. No, that's not true. you see what the PSYOP is, it's lumping different arguments about different points together and trying to blackwash a good investigation into NASA fakery with flat Earth. And flat Earth is just flat out wrong. I've looked into all the arguments. I've looked at so many videos of flat Earthers. I've looked at debunking videos of flat Earthers. I have studied the Earth for 21 years and counting right now. The Earth just cannot be flat. And even fucking Ptolemy, if that's right, I don't know. I cannot say. But if we follow the mainstream history, like 300-400 years before Christ, he already said the Earth is not flat, but it's geocentric. And that's the real interesting discussion. It could be geocentric, or it could be geo-heliocentric, or it could be heliocentric, like the mainstream model, and it can be heliocentric without Einstein, just Kepler Copernicus, Kepler, Newton, could be, I don't know, but let's have a discussion about that. That's interesting. That is a possibility, and then let's look into that. That is what flat Earth does. It creates a false dichotomy. It says, no, it can either be heliocentric Einstein bullshit model, or it's flat. No, that is not what the two possibilities in the real world are, because there are many other possibilities. And if people want to look into this, they are drawn either into the mainstream view or into flat Earth. And that is what this whole project is about, I think. It's getting people away from looking into interesting questions, because there can be interesting questions. But the shape of the Earth, there are only three possibilities. It's either convex, mainstream model, or flat, which has been debunked big time, or concave, which is even worse. Concave Earth positions a so-called sun and moon and all the stars in a position of the Earth's radius of 6,400 kilometers or even less, and it is a joke, even bigger than flat Earth. And light has to bend upwards, I don't know, I mean, they claim that, but they never explain how that works. So we have flat Earth, concave Earth, and convex Earth. The Earth must be convex because of sunsets, sunrises, moonsets, moonrises, solar eclipses, and lunar eclipses, things disappearing behind the horizon, bottom first, the impossibility of having sunrise and sunset in the east and west, respectively, on certain dates from the same latitude or different latitudes, you see that. In the flat Earth model, the idea is that the sun makes a small circle across the Tropic of Capricorn in June, and in December it makes a circle which is 68% larger along the topic of cancer. The other way around. Sorry. It's first cancer and then Capricorn. But still, there is no observation in the sky that the sun, if you would take, let's say, Rio de Janeiro in mid-winter northern hemisphere, 21st of December, you see the sun rightly overhead. And at the same time, you will look at the sun from Toronto or from Northern America, but the sun needs to move at that, according to the flat Earth idea, 68% faster than in summer, 21st of June, solstice, yeah. And that doesn't happen. We don't observe that in the sky. So if your observations are not fitting the theory you put out there, the theory has to be wrong. That is what real science is. I know there's a lot of fake science and scientism, and I agree with that. But if you are true to yourself, an honest person, you observe the skies, you observe the Earth, and you have to conclude that flat Earth is wrong. It cannot be right. If people here, and there's quite a lot of people who think that, are saying that it is right, then they are dishonest. They don't fit the observations they make to the model they present. And it was not my motivation to leave here, but it has helped me to do that, to take that decision. Because if there are people here who are completely dishonest in their ways of thinking and just spamming and just going around presenting false ideas, yeah, then it gets easier to leave. And tomorrow I will make a chat about it, and I will explain it in more detail, and I will also present research about an interesting PSYOP I have looked into for a while, and now I have looked into it with much more detail. And then I will leave, at least for a while. I don't know time, but that's my decision, and yeah. That's what I will do, but this flat Earth bullshit, anyone falling for this, it cannot be considered honest, because you know your everyday observations show it's wrong. It can be still geocentric, it can be still geoheliocentric, it can be ether, it can be any kind of mechanism behind it. That's not the point of discussion, but it cannot be flat. That is the only point I want to make here tonight after this nice chat we had. And tomorrow I'll make my final chat. Well, if you've been listening, thank you and good night.
This is Maria Laquita. I'm calling from Dubai, UAE, and you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.